NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce, the program director of AM 580 and station manager of WILL Radio, sitting in for Celeste Quinn today, and this gives us a great opportunity to answer any questions you might have about the radio stations or take any comments you might have about our service to you. Be glad to do that throughout the course of this hour. If you'd like to call us locally, the number is 333-9455. Long distance, it's 1-800-222-9455. And you can go ahead and get on the phone lines right now and get ready to pose your questions just about anything about the operation of the radio stations and programming. Will be fair game. And again, the numbers are 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455 as we talk to the manager this afternoon. So, in essence, I'm talking to myself. And the show will go a lot better if you come up with the questions. I have a bunch that I could just start talking about, but I think the purpose is to see what you have on your mind. So, well, let's get started. We have somebody on line four right off the bat. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Two questions.
Sure.
One is more technical than the other, digital broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are certain laws that say that everybody in the United States will receive digital broadcasting by a certain date.
For television, right?
Yeah, for television only, because I was concerned about the AM.
No, right? we don't have any deadline for radio yet.
Okay, good. Well, I don't really care about that, but, you know, I just rather keep my old Sony 2010 and be happy with the world.
Yeah, what'll happen is as stations convert to digital, nobody has in our immediate area.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of stations in Chicago have, and some elsewhere, some public radio stations elsewhere are in the state of Illinois right now doing it. We do have plans to probably, depending upon if we're successful in the round of grant applications that we put in later this month, maybe within this calendar year, we would convert to digital on one or both of our stations, but the analog would still be on, so there wouldn't be a problem. And as I mentioned, there is no deadline as there is for television for giving up the analog. So
yeah, I understand in a sense it's a catch-22. Manufacturers, receivers don't want to make digital available unless there's digital stations, and the digital stations don't want to go digital because of money unless there's people, you know, to, you know, go for the advertising or what have you. Yeah,
it's going to be a tough one. Now, NPR has purchased a whole bunch of digital radios, and the early stations that got onto digital were NPR stations, basically, and then some commercial stations have. But NPR has bought a whole bunch of radios to make available through its stations that have gone digital. To get some out in the public, some cars are going to be doing it. I understand at least one store in town asked me when we were going to go digital because he was thinking about stocking some digital radios. So, and we will when we do it, we'll have some kind of I would imagine a program in place to get digital radios out into the hands of folks somehow.
Second question.
Yeah.
In terms of last week's drive, I know a number of times people were saying, you know, you want to show your support for X program, which, you know, you're listening to now. And I was wondering just what the toss-up is, because when I pledged, I pledged for a program I like, but if, you know, if it came down to the Desert Island thing, I would have kept my money on another program. You know, I just wanted to get the money in quick and get it out of the way. So I was wondering, you know, how that plays out in your decisions if you don't reach the sums you need to keep certain programs on, how much, you know, between a particular program, the monies that you received would make you go one way or the other?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it does play some part. We do look at it, but it's only one part of the picture. And we realize fully that not everybody can get to the telephone or the website and pledge during a particular program that they might want to pledge for. So we look at the comments on the pledge forms. We look at the audience numbers for the program. We look at the cost of the program. And we do look at whether or not anybody has called in during the program. But it's not really as much of a popularity contest based on who calls during the program
about,
as it might seem.
Yeah.
No, it's certainly an element of it. I mean, when we were looking at the fresh air situation, the cost of the program was a big factor, but also the audience. And the audience for the program was not as big as it should have been for a program that cost that much, and a program of such high stature in the public radio system. And we also looked at the fact that when we did put a lot of effort into it during pledge drives, there was really no significant difference in the amount of money that anyone called in during that time as opposed to when we didn't even do anything during the pledge drives for it. So that was a part of the picture that we looked at. But it's not really a popularity contest based on pledge drives.
One more?
Sure.
I listen pretty much to the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen a lot to the 2 o'clock farm program. I'm not a farmer, never was, never will be, but I'm interested in the sort of the patterns of talk about, what the farmer's facing and what the hedge funds are doing and what those crazies up in Chicago are doing and what the index funds are doing to the farmers and things like it. It just gives me a sort of visual into the economy, American economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... long time ago, I remember you had them on a show similar to this where one could ask questions about certain things. I remember when it was on the last time I asked, what's a feeder cattle, and what's this and what that? And, I just think that would be a good PR thing if they would ever, come together on a program where you could ask those kind of more technical questions, just one person interested in things around them and that sort of thing.
And how it all relates to you.
Yeah.
Because it does. And you're very, very sharp to notice how it does, what the relevance is.
Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable to listen to that and listen to the discussions about the stock markets and things, sort of the interaction thing. So it's just an intellectual thing for me. In sort of sense, I sort of feel like, you shouldn't even be doing this because it's really aimed at farmers and what. They're out there, doing the seeds and everything and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, there's a whole business side to it, and it really does affect our economy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I'm always interested in that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Very, very well, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thanks.
Good luck.
Well, thanks much for calling, too, and thank you. 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. You know what? The lines are totally open. This is a great opportunity for you to call in and ask whatever questions you have about WILL Radio. And again, 333-9455 if you're in and around Atlanta. If you're calling from outside the immediate area, it's 1-800-222-9455. And we'd be glad to talk to you. And Harriet's pointing out that I guess we just did, was that on March 30th? March 30th, yeah. We did the Futures 101 program explaining risk management options at the Board of Trade and Mercantile Exchange and other futures exchanges. And that would have been March 30th. So if you want to go back and take a look, that was on Focus 580. Yeah, if you want to go back on our website, will.uiuc.edu, you can, in fact, go back and find that program. We do that from time to time, but it's always good to get a reminder of things you'd be interested in. I'm putting this over here. Okay, I'm back. And we have some calls lined up here. Line one, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I was listening to the program earlier today. There was a caller on. You had some people on that were talking about public radio and funding,
right,
and that sort of
first
thing.
Hour and, focus today, right?
Right, and the caller seemed very angry about the fact that WIL hadn't been forthwith in about how funding was. The Brimmers, was it, that did the TV studio?
And the Campbells, yeah.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I did hear the call. Yeah.
Okay. And the only thing I can think is that he would be upset about is if he felt like he was paying too much in tax money. And I'm wondering, how much does it cost the average taxpayer a year for the services that we get for PBS?
Well, that's a good question. And if you want to do some math, tell you what the current year, the fiscal year 2005 appropriation for Corporation for Public Broadcasting, all right, is $386.8 million. So divide that by the population, and I guess you'll get the per capita.
Okay.
And there are currently 800 stations in the system, radio stations funded, radio only. I don't know how many public TV stations, I don't track that, but 800 radio stations get some amount of CPB funding. NPR and PBS do not get any funding directly from CPB. They get it through the stations. We get the money. We buy the services from those networks.
Uh-huh.
So that's how it works. But 386.8 is the current thing. Now, he was talking about our federal grant, and, you know, it gets into a very complicated system. What happens is you get I'll speak for WILL Radio. We get a base grant of some amount, and then we get some incentives added to that based on the amount of money we bring in from non-federal sources. In other words, the more money that we get from listeners and the more money we get from other sources like underwriters, etc., the more money we stand to get from our federal grant from CPB. And so, yes, when the Campbells donated the money to the university for this building, Campbell Hall, it was several million dollars, and that over a period of years did make our non-federal support number go up, so thus our federal grant ostensibly went up.
Right.
And I think what he was saying was we made some bad decisions, or we made some decisions that we couldn't sustain, et cetera, but the fact of the matter is we didn't really. The decisions that were made at that time when we did have a little bit more money coming in from the federal government were based on predictions of natural growth, and federal money had been going up over a period of time before that, and also on one-time purchases. We made some one-time purchases. But we had to spend, in addition to the money to build the building that came from the Campbells, we had to spend some money to move into it, to get some equipment put in, and office furniture and things that weren't included in that amount of money. As far as the federal grant went, you know, back in 1996, our federal grant was $107,000. And by the end of the 1990s, 1999, it was 374. So that was pretty substantial growth. That was not all due to the Campbell money. That was also due to some differences in the way that Corporation for Public Broadcasting was calculating it. So 99, well, you know, I mean, you trace the Campbell years and the like. You go from 107,000 in 96 down to 101,000 in 97, up to 225,000 in 1998, 374,000 in 99. In 2000, it was up to 379,000. But by 2002, it was back down to 333,000. It was up to 400,000 or so in 2003. And the current year, it's 358,000. Not all of that is traceable to the Campbell money or local fundraising. It's the picture changes in 2002 based on the number of NPR or public radio stations, not just NPR stations, but there were 700 in 2002. There were 800 3 years later, 2005. So, and our state money during between fiscal year 2002 and 2004 decreased by 22.3%, which amounted to, well, for WILL as a whole, amounted to over $250,000. Mm-hmm. And then we had another one in the radio side last year. Well, from the last fiscal year to the current one, our state money decreased by $31,000. That's the state money that comes through the university. And then our state direct money has held about even, down just the, well, it's held about even. So so anyway, if we gained a lot of money on the federal side, we lost money on the state side, but costs continue to increase, cost for programming, membership dues, salary increases. Every time there's a salary increase on the University of Illinois campus, we have to go along with that. That costs us, you know. So it's not like we had a huge stack of money sitting there and then all of a sudden, you know, hired a whole bunch of people and then couldn't afford to keep them just because of that. And that's it. I mean, you know, it's that, I don't know, without opening all the books and sitting down for an hour and discussing it and showing facts and figures that are sometimes confusing because they're all tied up in formulas and things.
Right.
Long and short of it, you know.
Yeah. I just want to say that I think that it doesn't sound like we're spending, as taxpayers, we're spending very much, and I feel we get a lot for our money. I wish that we were spending more and we were getting more, but, you know, I guess that's always a hope for the future, I suppose.
Yeah, well,
And I really enjoy the public broadcasting, the NPR, the BBC, all the programs that you bring.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope I shed some light on it for you. And we'll go to line two and see what you have. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
I don't know if you can answer this one or not, but I heard remark that the Car Talk show is one of the most expensive that you buy.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, well, what's the amount of production time it takes to put that together? It doesn't look like it's a whole lot. I just wonder if you got any guesses as to why it's so high.
If I had to guess, and I don't have any inside, you know.
Right.
They can charge that much?
That's it.
I don't know what
supply
I can say.
You
know,
okay.
It's one of the biggest audiences besides Morning Edition on our station and many others. And so it's, you know, yeah, supply and demand.
They do it because they can. Okay.
Yeah.
Another question. I noticed your announcement on the break. You're now part of the College of Communication.
Yeah, we have been. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Not always, but yeah, we have been.
It's just something you're doing more explicitly now.
Yeah, it's... It's a whole thing, and I don't know, you know, how much you want to get into on it, but mentioning the College of Communications, which is, you know, our home, we're a part of that, and I don't think most people knew that, and there are probably benefits to it. Maybe it detracts for some people, I don't know, but it more accurately reflects where we are on campus, and I think, in my mind, as program director, by saying that we're part of the College of Communications as opposed to part of the university as a whole, it might deflect some people's thinking that we're a mouthpiece for the university and we're not editorially independent.
I think you're right.
And being part of the college, you know, and the academic side of things is something that we value very highly because it does give us that insulation.
I get you a whole... Yeah. Contact with a lot of talent.
Yeah.
One last question. And some time ago in Patterns, there was a statement that there was going to be antenna work done, and it was going to be kind of extensive. I haven't heard any more about it.
That's going to happen.
Good.
And what needed to be done was in getting an assessment of our tower. This is for the FM and television tower out near Allerton Park. They told us that the tower that was built I guess it's about 40 years or more old now. It was built in the 60s, I think, that we needed to have some bracing up of it so it could hold the digital antennas.
Sure.
For radio and television. And that work would have to be done fairly soon. If not, we risked it collapsing.
Right.
And so the university has been really good at working with us on it. And my understanding as of this time is that the university will be having that work done. And
uh-huh.
So they're coming. We don't know how much it'll be. They'll be taking bids pretty soon on it. And the work should be done this summer.
Yeah, this is the season. It's just starting.
Yeah, so sometime in probably in July,
We'll
be off the air for a day or two, or we'll be off the air for periods of time as they go by the antennas. They can't really
right.
go, you know, when they're climbing or going up and down the tower to do this work. And what it consists of is new guy wires and bracing the existing structure. So it should give us another 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, so holding the wind load.
Yeah,
okay.
And, you know, I want to thank the university personally. It's about $500,000 or more that they're going to be helping us take care of. So.
Yeah, that's heavy work.
Yeah.
One other question is, and I agree with the last caller, too. I'm really satisfied with your program.
Thank you.
But I kind of miss Allie Kawa. Where'd she go?
Allie moved up and on and across the street, actually. She's working at Provena Covenant Hospital.
Oh. Okay.
In their public relations department, basically.
Okay.
And it was an opportunity that she saw to stay in the community and kind of advance in a kind of a related field.
Sure.
And
sure.
So,
that's what the job world is about.
Yeah. We miss her. I just saw her on Friday night, and she's doing very well. And she misses WILL and all the listeners. And
yeah, I really appreciate your regional news programming.
Well, thank you. I'll pass that on.
Okay, thank you.
You know, thank you for the call. And we're very lucky to have Jeff Bossert, who moved up. And Jeff has had some connection with this area and public radio in this area before, and moved back up from Memphis and has joined the news team. So we're happy about that. 333-9455 is our local number if you'd like to give us a call here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pearson. I'm program director of AM 580 and also the station manager of WILL AM and FM. And I'd be glad to answer any questions you have that I can get answers to right now. And if I don't have the immediate answer, I'll get back to you on them. And let's go to line four. Okay, line four, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for hosting this program to give us a chance to speak what's on our mind. I listen to WILL quite a bit, and I enjoy most of it. But I'm calling about what I think, if it came from your station, was in very bad taste. On Saturday afternoon, I walked into my machine shed about, I think it was about 1:45, and the radio was on, as I leave it on a number of times, and I think it was on your station. And it was some kind of a story about a baboon grooming a cat. I don't know if you're familiar with
that. Yeah, it was on our station. That was David Sedaris, and it was on This American
Life.
Well,
I don't know if that's National Public. I usually don't listen to your station on Saturday afternoon. I just, for various reasons. But I listened to it a couple minutes, and it was in very bad taste. And I turned it off.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, you're a broadcast station, and broadcast means exactly what the name implies. Your signal goes out, and you have no control over who hears that signal. And it's not like selling something that you can control who uses it. For instance, it's tobacco or alcohol. And it was just very poor taste for WILL. That, and then sometimes I think the station devotes more time than they should to, let's say, alternate lifestyles. I realize, you know, you're in a college community and college students have a lot of questions, and that's fine. But they also have a number of libraries and bookstores and a lot of other places to get that information that doesn't have to be broadcast over the public airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think your station does a very good job. But I just had to mention that I couldn't believe I was hearing something like that on WILL.
Well, I do appreciate you letting me know. That was on the program This American Life. It's produced in Chicago by WBEZ and distributed by Public Radio International, and we've aired that show for a long time. And I'll be sure to pass your comments on, too. I know exactly the piece you're talking about. So, in fact, David Sedaris did that piece when he was here at the Virginia Theater a couple weeks ago. So,
Well, it's not meant for, I mean, you know, especially as the time goes. I think it was about 1:45.
Yeah.
This is a, it's not like, it might have been a little more excusable if it had been aired at 10 p.m. or something when children are supposed to be in bed. But I'm sorry, I just had to say something.
Oh, I totally understand, and I appreciate the fact you took the opportunity to do that. Thank you very much for calling. All right, let's go on, and I do keep notes on all of those. That goes in the file. Let's go to line one, and you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello, if you've already covered this, I'm sorry. The question is, someone called in a couple hours ago, actually, during Focus 580 to ask about whether or not it was possible to put something like Democracy Now! On WILL. I know that's not NPR fair, but it was related to another question where a different caller had called in and said that that the NPR's national coverage of politics, basically international events, particularly military events, has just been bad. WILL is fantastic. It puts the listener in an idea in this dilemma where we have to support this station. At the same time, we're saying okay to, you know, really substandard coverage coming from NPR. And anyway, I just wondered what options, obviously, as listeners, we can write into NPR, we can call into NPR, but what options do we have to put pressure on the national level through the station, like selecting alternatives to their news coverage? Mm-hmm. And you just said it's one of your biggest sells, if not the biggest, but I'm just exploring the hypothetical here.
Sure. Yeah, we pick the programs ourselves. We're under no obligation to buy any or all NPR programs. It's a choice that's made, and you know, of course, before NPR, there was WILL. But having said that, the NPR programs like Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Car Talk, and the others that are standards of the quote unquote public radio are very highly listened to and supported programs on the station and attract audience. NPR is the brand, as it were. But not everything we do is NPR. We do a lot of local programming, and we have a lot of programs from other sources. What can you do about NPR News if you're not satisfied with the quality of it? The best thing to do is to go to the NPR.org website and look up the ombudsperson, who is Jeffrey Dvorkin. You'll find his contact information there. And that's probably the best way for you to get through, and he does look at every message he gets. In addition, since we've had two comments today, I will be sending a message saying that, look, we had two comments today on it. It's a very tough thing when you get into this kind of a discussion, because programming is not a black and white type of thing. There's a lot of nuances to it. And NPR is obviously very important. We want to make sure that NPR is doing the best job it can, and I think that's the avenue to take. WILL does some programming that would be considered progressive, although I wouldn't label us as a whole a progressive radio station. And there are differing reasons, you know, why don't we lean in more of a progressive area. Well, I guess we're more progressive than some. We're less progressive than some would like us to be. I don't think it's our business to really sit down and say we are going to go in a certain direction. We try to achieve a balance over the course of a programming week in different things. We do try to give a voice, as has been part of the mission of WILL since 1922 when it went on the air, to those, and is also part of the Public Broadcasting Act back in the 60s, we try to give a voice to those who wouldn't otherwise have a voice in the community. But does that mean that we should turn the whole station into that? I don't think so, because there are other segments of the audience that we need to serve too. So we try to achieve a balance. And, you know, there's honestly, it's hard sometimes because there's so much more that we could do if we had two or three frequencies. That may happen with digital broadcasting. There are experiments now taking the FM channels, for instance, and instead of just dividing or having, you know, an FM channel, you can have two, maybe three, maybe four, depending on what you put on them. And so there may be some opportunities to have some more diversity. We try to represent the diversity of the areas that we serve. And that includes a lot of different viewpoints and a lot of different areas. Democracy Now! Is an interesting question. Right now, the program runs on WEFT. And I think you know that we're friends of Amy Goodman, and she's friends of ours. And we have a pretty good relationship, even though we don't run the program. But it's running on WEFT right now. And at the time that we would need to run it, we have this low power issue over half the year when we become a very, very local station because we have to reduce our broadcasting power to protect a station in Topeka, Kansas. And so we would, in effect, for a lot of the year, not even be broadcasting as far out as WEFT does. I think it would be counterproductive to offer the same program that another station with as good as, if not better, coverage area is already offering. You know, if you want to listen to Democracy Now!, you can tune to 90.1 FM when it's on, or it's going to be on cable television in Urbana, the Urbana cable channel pretty soon, too. So that's another option, and of course it's online. So it's available. I just think it would be counterproductive for us to also make it available when we could, you know, do something else and offer another option. But that's not to say it would never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, ever be on this radio station or some broadcast channel that WILL has. And, you know, it always helps the more comments we have, people, you know, talking about it, does keep it in mind. So thank you much for the call and the comments. And line two is next. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Just for another viewpoint, I also listened to This American Life on Saturday and thought the David Sedaris piece was great and funny. And I guess parents need to monitor their kids. I didn't think it was offensive at all, and my older kids would have loved it had they been around to hear it.
Well, thank you much for the balance there. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. And you see, that's how it goes, you know. We don't expect everybody to like everything that we do on the radio station because we have such a variety. And I think if we limited ourselves to try to focus on material that was universally appealing and acceptable, first of all, you'd never find it. Or it would be so watered down that it wouldn't be very stimulating, I don't think. So, and, you know, part of our mission here is to create dialogue, to promote thought and ideas. Obviously, we don't want to be doing things that are considered to be in very bad taste on a regular basis or be labeled that by, you know, people. But I think we try to reflect the diversity in our world and in our society, whether we agree with it or not. It's here, and that's what we're trying to reflect. We're not really promoting anything, I don't think. We're not taking a position. What we're doing is reflecting what's there and talking about it and putting it out on the table, because just because we don't talk about it doesn't mean it's not there or it goes away. So that's our philosophy. And now let's go to line one, and you're on the air in Champaign. Go ahead, please.
Oh, is this me?
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just be brief because I just want to second some of the things that you've been saying and also the woman who called. Since you said you were keeping track, you knew you were going to get some This American Life supporters. I just want to say I'm an adult. I appreciate programming that speaks to my maturity and cognitive level. I don't want to live in a community where everything you can hear is acceptable for children. So I think having appropriate adult programming is definitely a part of WILL's mission, and I would hate to see that get dumbed down on the notion that everything has to be appropriate for children. Not everything can be or has to be.
Well, thank you very much for that comment. And, you know, I would say, and I venture out and listen to a lot of other radio, we don't have a very big teenage audience or audience of children. They're not at the point where they're really wanting to listen to the kind of programming that we do. There are a couple of stations, several stations that you can get in town here. Well, quite a few of them that do have a large audience of preteens, teenagers, and the like. And boy, if you think anything that has been on WILL AM is raunchy, listen to what your kids are listening to for a little bit. And it's whew. All right. Let's go to, is it line four we're going to up in Chicago? You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, or afternoon, I should
say.
I understand how you have to cut back to low power because of the another station across the country sharing the same frequency. I'm thinking about getting a computer, though, so I can hear you guys on the Internet.
Good idea.
But I was wondering, you know, you have a lot of shows that are not on in the daytime, such as Inside Europe on Sunday morning, which I think is a great show. I was wondering if you ever thought about running that again, maybe in the wintertime where someone could hear it. I don't have to worry about the low power. Or maybe Latino USA or Pacific Times, which are two others.
Those are always considerations, and a lot of it just has to do, you know, with the fact that sometimes we only have about 7 or 8 hours of high-powered time in the winter and all the programs to fit in there. To answer the question, when digital radio comes along, it will provide an opportunity for us to have the AM station heard everywhere you can hear our FM station 24 hours a day. That doesn't help you in Chicago, I know, because you don't hear our FM up there. Online is another option. You know, who knows what's going to happen when all of these radio stations get their additional frequencies with digital once they go digital. And we virtually double or triple the number of FM radio stations.
Well, you know, just about all of you guys are on the Internet now anyway. Just about every station in the country is on.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, eventually that's the way it's all headed.
I might add, is television.
Yeah, I think this idea of terrestrial broadcasting that goes 30 or 40 miles and then you have to turn to another station is going to be gone eventually.
Yeah, I think when they get the Internet, too, available to the public, you're going to see the Internet Television Network.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, when are you going to have on Rich Warren again?
Boy, that's a good question. He was just recently on one of our shows. I don't know. I'd have to check.
And just one more thing.
I'll run that in if she's listening.
Just one more thing. Have you thought about bringing back Fresh Air?
We think about it all the time, all the time. If the budget was going in the proper direction for that to happen, I think it would happen.
But a great combination would be Fresh Air and Odyssey.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the odds of affording both of them at the same time
are slim.
Very good.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, at least right now. This isn't a permanent situation, but, you know.
Well, you know, I live up here in Chicago, so I get to do that. I get to listen to Fresh Air. Then Odyssey.
Yeah.
Twice.
And you think they work pretty well together.
Sure, they do.
Complement each other. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks for your comments. All right. And, you know, I was looking at audience numbers. We do have a pretty good audience going up in the Chicago area these days. More than 10,000 people in the course of the week in Cook County listen to this radio station. So let's go to line two now. And from Champaign, go ahead, please.
Hi. Forgive my cell phone connection perhaps at the risk of being repetitive. I was in the car with my son on Sunday afternoon when the replay of This American Life was on. Mm-hmm. And my son, who's nearly 12, has pretty much grown up on with the understanding that if he's in the car with me, we're probably going to be listening to you guys. And as that story came on, as the David Sedaris story came on, and I began to hear where it was headed, I thought, is this when I turn off the radio because it's inappropriate, or is this when I say it's time to make a choice to explain the context of that which we're listening to?
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to listen because I love This American Life, and I love the stories that David Sedaris tells, and really, that storytelling is one of the things that I value most about what the station has to provide. And so we continued listening, and we laughed and laughed and laughed, and I decided later that, no, I didn't regret that. He was perhaps hearing something that shocked him at first, but realized that it was a creative piece by someone who is really a fabulous storyteller. So it's not just the entertaining stories that are told, but also the news stories that are told in a storytelling fashion that becomes so valuable with a station like this, and also the NPR programming. Those driveway moments come from those extra minutes of a story that would otherwise be given 30 seconds or less on some other type of station. Mm. So I want to, I guess, just reinforce the notion that we do have to make choices for our families about what's appropriate in our lives for us to listen to. But I'm so glad that you can provide these artists to us, for us to hear, because it's just wonderful. And we are just going to have to say, sometimes this isn't what my kids should be hearing. And there are so many other aspects of our lives where we need to make those controls, and it's not inappropriate to do so. Mm-hmm. It's appropriate to have it available and for us to be able to make the choice of whether or not to listen. And I knew that there would be people out there, and I respect those opinions, who felt that that's not appropriate public broadcasting. But I'm so glad to have the opportunity to have it here, and I thank you for the work that you folks do to provide it.
Well, thank you very much for your perspective on that. Thank you for calling. We have just a few minutes left here, and we'll try to get the two people who are on the line right now, so hang on. Line 3 first in Champaign. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, sorry to be terribly repetitive, but I also heard the David Sedaris show about the baboon and the cat, mm-hmm. and I was not offended, but I wasn't impressed either.
Okay.
But This American Life, it has a Shakespeare in prison program also that is just out of this world, and that I'm terribly impressed with, to the point of tears. So I felt that it was worth listening to that particular, not terribly wonderful, David Sedaris story,
mm-hmm.
to get the Shakespeare in the prison story that they did, and the whole program. So I just think I would hate to see the censorship of that program just because of one particularly not terribly impressive monologue. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And, you know, boy, it was cleaned up a lot from when he did it live at the Virginia Theater, but it brought the house down at the Virginia. I mean, people were just in the aisles about that story. But, yeah, I mean, that points out, you know, not everybody's cup of tea, but wait 5 minutes and something else comes on and we'll see. Let's go to line 1, and this will be the final call we can take, and thank you very much for calling. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
What would have to happen if you had a translator station for AM in the Chicago area and in southern Illinois? Is that just a complete impossibility?
No, it's not a complete impossibility. We can't have a translator, as it's technically known, which is like a booster, lower power booster type thing, repeater. We could have another full power station that we rebroadcast our signal on, and that would require basically somebody either selling us one or donating it to us, more likely. But
it wouldn't require any studio or other personnel?
Not anymore. It used to be the case where you'd have to have a local studio, et cetera.
I was thinking of a way of repeating what goes out all the time on
right.
580.
Yeah,
minimum cost.
We've looked into that as situations have presented themselves, but, you know, there just aren't a lot of radio stations that anyone wants to donate to anyone. They want to sell them, and of late it's been a market that even very small stations have commanded outrageous prices anymore, because a commercial company or a religious broadcaster can make a lot of money off a station very cheaply by just repeating a signal, you know, off a satellite.
Didn't WILL once give up a frequency in the Chicago area? I understood that there was one that you turned back to the FCC.
Boy, you know, someone else would have to answer that. Not to my knowledge. I know that there have been efforts to get one up there.
I think it was an FM, but I'm not sure.
University of Illinois had a station in Chicago, not WILL, though.
Oh, but UIC.
It was UIC. had a lower power educational frequency at one time, WUIC, I think it was. I think that was in the 80s and 90s. It was after I went to University of Illinois in Chicago, when it was Chicago Circle. When I worked at the radio station there, it wasn't on actually on the air. It was to the
closed circuit.
It was closed circuit. But they actually did get one that went on the air for a while, and yeah. I think they gave that up at some
point.
Well,
I just think it would be a marvelous thing for the station and the university if that signal could be extended both ways.
Well, we continue the effort. It's just hard to find. You know, if people have a station, they'd rather sell it, and for us to come up with hundreds of thousands of dollars would be pretty tough.
Yeah. There are no open frequencies, I take it.
You know, they're all pretty much, if they reach any kind of population at all, where where you're not just broadcasting to cows, they're pretty much taken up.
Okay.
And the price of entry now, you know, even to get a marginal signal into Champaign, Urbana is going to be $1 million. In a town this size, even. That's how crazy it's gotten.
I had hoped you could just do a straightforward translator, but...
Yeah, not on AM. On AM, and we've appealed that, but that's it. But
thanks for the information.
Well, thank you much. And the hope holds out again, as I say, if digital broadcasting and this multicasting, as they call it, catches on and goes, and the FCC gives it the final go-ahead, then FM stations will have the option of having a second... And they're testing right now, in some cases, an even third and fourth channel. And they're going to have to find some programming to put on those. And there may be some access to us relatively inexpensively along those lines. And we'll be keeping close tabs on that. And I appreciate everybody's calls today and taking the opportunity and appreciate the opportunity to talk directly with you. A reminder, we have a listener comment line, 217-333-0853. You can email me if you go to our website, will.uiuc.edu. You'll find all the contact information there. Or you can write to me, Jay Pierce, Station Manager, WILL Radio, 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, 61801. And with that, we need to get on to the settlement prices. And first of all, Todd Gleason takes a look at those from the Chicago Board of Trade. Todd?
Actually, before we get those, I've got a question for you, Jay.
Okay.
I just sort of walked in the door. I've been busy on the other side of campus doing my duties for U of I Extension, of course, this morning. And I think I've got this right. We raised, what, over the last fund drive, about $123,000. Is that right?
That's correct.
And something like 1,137 pledges?
That is correct. We thank each and every one.
Absolutely. And I know there were at least 83 to maybe 90 pledges that came in on the ag side.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to thank them personally, too. We
absolutely
do appreciate everything that's done. Thanks for all the work you did last
good
week,
response,
by the way. And while I've got you on the air and I can take the time to thank you personally for supporting the agricultural programming. I know it's not the easiest of things to do all the time, but we do appreciate you doing that as well.
Well, the agriculture programming is something that's been a part of WILL, as I said many times last week. It has, as near as we can gauge from our audience measurements, at least 14,000 listeners in the course of the week to agriculture programming. All of the outreaches that we do, all of the all-day outlook and the panels that we do at Farm Progress, and I go to a lot of this, and I meet a lot of people and talk to a lot of people. And this is a service that is used, it's a service that is valued, and it's a service that those who use it are willing to support.
And indeed they do. Thanks much, Jay. And we'll
mm-hmm.
talk to you in just a second with an update from the Mercantile Exchange. But let's get what happened from the Chicago Board of Trade on this Monday afternoon in the wheat pit. Fairly quiet trade today, according to most of the floor sources, but it was a lower day in the wheat pit. May futures were down 4 cents today. 305.5 was the settlement price. The high there at 310.5. The low at 305 even. July futures 321, the high, the low at 312.75, settled 313.5, down 3.5, and September off 3 cents today. 328.75, the high, the low at 321.5, settlement price there at 323, down 3. December futures were down 3.5, 331.75 the settlement, with a high of 38.75 and a low at 31.5. March contract $3.47, the high for the day, the low at 340, and the March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade settled at $3.40, down on the low, 4 cents lower for the day. From the corn pit nearby, May contract 202.5, the high, The low at $1.98¾ settled back below that $2 level, $1.99¾. The settlement price, they were off 0.75¢ today. July futures, $2.10, the high, the low at $2.06½. A settlement price, $2.07¾, down a half cent for the day. And the September futures, $2.18¼, the high, the low at $2.14¾, settled $2.15¾. They were off a half. And December contract, down a quarter today, $2.25¾. Your new crop settlement price, with a high of $2.27¾, a low at $2.24½, and repeating that December contract settled at $2.25¾ a bushel, it was down 0.25¢. March corn, $2.35½, the high, the low at $2.32¾, settled $2.33½, they were off a quarter, and the May contract down a quarter as well, $2.38¼, the settlement price with a high of $39¾ and a low at $37½. May oats for the day, $1.33, they were off a half. July unchanged at $1.38¼. Soy complex now, down about 3 cents in the nearby contract. In fact, 3 even at $6.32 for the May settlement price there. The high at $42½ and a low at $6.31. May beans once again settled $6.32. They were down 3. July at $6.47½ high, the low at $6.36, settled $6.37¾, down 2¼. And the August soybeans, $6.45 the high, the low at $6.36, settled $6.36½. They were down 1¼. September futures for the day, $6.37 on this Monday, the high, the low at $6.28½, settled $6.29. They were a penny and a half higher for the day. And the November contract up 2½ cents, $6.34½, the high, the low at $6.26¼, settlement price at $6.27½, that November up 2½. January futures up 3¾ today, $6.29½, the settlement price with a high of $35 and a low at $29 even. May bean meal, $194.10, the settlement down $1.30, and the May bean oil at $23.50, off 26 for the day. Now here's Jay Pierce with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
All right, thank you, Todd. The May feeder cattle had a high today of 111.20, a low of 110.25, settlement 111.07½, and they finished up 85. The August feeder cattle, 110.35 the high, the low 109.50, the settlement 110.05, up 50. And for September, the high today 109.05, the low price, 108.40, and the settlement right on 109, up 70. May live cattle settled unchanged at, I should go to the June contract on the live cattle, first of all. 85.50 was the high price today, 84.95 was the low price, and 85.40 was the settlement, up 35. And for the August live cattle, the high today, 86.20, low 85.50, settlement 86.15, up 75. May lean hogs, high today 78.50, low 77.40, settlement 77.57½, down 77½. June, high today 76.57½, the low 75.10, settlement 75.12½, down 102½. July lean hogs, 75.62½, make that 77.27½ was the high, 75.62½ was the low, and the settlement 75.77½, down 115. August lean hogs, the high 75.65, the low 74.50, settlement 74.